You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Well, welcome. Good morning. We have been going through the book of Philippians the last few weeks, and in the series called Better Together, or Some Good News. And Louis, for the past few weeks, has brought us up through Philippians 2, verse 11. So we'll be picking up there in verse 12 through 18 today. And as you can feel free, I normally am on the computer in the live chat and things, but I think our video team is on that, so you can still be interacting there or texting the church phone, whatever. So it'll be just like you're here being involved. So just to review a little bit, Louis has given us a little bit of a background of what it was like in first century Philippi, but I'm just going to touch on a little bit of those things. So it is was a colony largely of ex-Roman soldiers, and they were like given that land as part of their reward, so they're living in their reward. So I kind of imagine if I was living in a land that I like earned in that way, I would kind of be very much like, yeah, this is mine. Like, yeah. So that's kind of the attitude I imagine with that. Also, the Via Ignatia, one of the main roads from Macedonia to Rome, ran through there. So it's kind of a hub people are traveling through. And also the origin of that church in Philippi. To touch on that, if you read in Acts 16, Paul, with his guys that were going around planting churches, they were planning to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them, and instead, he was told in a dream to go to Philippi. So they went to Philippi, and this is actually the first church that Paul founded in Europe. So you can imagine, it's very near and dear to his heart, the church of Philippi, and you kind of see that in this letter in Philippians, which really is different than a lot of his other letters in that in a lot of the other ones, you see him writing to correct something, address an issue or a dispute, correct a wrong theology, warn against false teachers. But in this letter, it's really a letter of encouragement. You see repeated themes of joy and rejoicing and growing and continuing on and this idea. And so if you think of it, he's writing somewhat in response to their support to his ministry. And despite, you know, he's in prison at the time, but they've stuck by him and they're still supporting him. And so if you can think of it kind of like a missionary support letter. So I think, you know, we as a church, we support different missionaries overseas doing things. And every so often, you'll hear back from them. You'll get like, here's the work that we've been doing, and your support has helped us do this and this. So he's kind of like that. So I think one of the cool things about what we talked about last week in that verses kind of Philippians 2, 1 through 11, he is talking about Christ and Christ's sacrifice and what that is. And it's cool because you kind of get to see Pastor Paul. He takes Jesus' words and action in life, and then he applies it to his congregation's lives in these next few verses. And now we get to take his words and bring them into our situation and apply it to our lives. So it's this glimpse really as Paul acting as a pastor in that way, which is fun. So picking up in verse 12, we have, here we go. I'm going to read it from there because I don't have the right word. I want to make sure I use the versions that I wanted. So therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And what we learned last week as well, Louis pointed out, therefore means it's, right, it's there for a reason. We have to, it ties it back to before. So last week, to remind you, was talking about Christ's sacrifice and his example was described in verses 5 through 11. So because of Christ's sacrifice, as you have always obeyed, we must continue to obey. So it's this idea, once again, you see that this is a letter of encouragement. Continue in obedience, continue to grow. And that, you know, past obedience isn't enough. Salvation isn't a one and done thing. It's this process that we're always in. And I want to touch on this language of working out your salvation. I think we can see that, and we think works, salvation, it's salvation by works. I just want to emphasize that this is not, Paul's not implying salvation by works. It's actually interesting. I looked at the Greek here, and the work in work out your salvation, and then the next work where it says, for it's God that works in you, they're actually two different words. And in Greek, because there's not always a one-to-one translation that way. And so the first one, where you're to work out your salvation, is more of perform or do, to do that from which something results. So the NLT actually translates this verse as work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So it's more that acting out your salvation more so than earning it, right? And the work that it uses for God is to be operative, to be at work, to put forth the power, to aid one. So God is the one working, bringing about that salvation, and we simply then act it out, work it out. And just to emphasize the point that Paul does not teach salvation by works, you can very clearly see in other places he's written that he teaches salvation by grace through faith. Just a couple for you. In Ephesians, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Or in Titus, it says, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. So, yes, not something that we can do. We simply receive it and act it out. And so, as we act it out, what does that mean? Continuing. So then in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So this, as we act out our faith, we are called to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. I think we could all look around and say there's some pretty twisted, crooked things going on around us these days, everywhere. And so we're to shine as lights. How are we to do that? Don't grumble or dispute. Hold fast to the word of life. And Paul then is talking about this when he says, don't make my labor in vain, and don't, but make me proud of you that I may rejoice. And you can kind of, you see, as Louis has told us, that when Paul was writing this letter, he was in prison. So he is suffering in chains for the gospel. And he's just encouraging them, you know, if I'm going to be sitting here in prison suffering, don't make it all for nothing, right? I want to be able to be proud of you because you are acting out your faith. You're living it out. You're shining as lights. And he makes this reference to a drink offering. And so if you don't know what that is, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, was before Christ's sacrifice, one of the different offerings and the sacrificial offerings was a drink offering, typically wine, and it really was like this metaphor for the blood of Jesus that would be spilled. And so he's talking about, you know, being poured out is like that blood. He's being sacrificed for them. And so I think you can make that allusion here too, just as they're not to waste Paul's sacrifice, and seeing as Paul just told us about Christ's sacrifice, right? He's also saying we shouldn't waste Christ's sacrifice. Don't make his sacrifice in vain or his labor in vain, but like we should act out our salvation so that, don't you want Christ to be proud of you and to rejoice in what you're doing and for us to rejoice with him as well? So just that more encouragement to live out your faith because Christ humbled himself and was obedient to the point of death, as it says in verse 8, because in verse 9, God exalted him above every other name. For that reason, live out your faith. And then, where I want to spend probably bulk of the time here is on this idea of shining as lights. And of course, this made me think immediately of Hillside's foundational verses. In Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now again, I got to nerd out and dig into the Greek here too. And I won't bore you with all of it, but it's important to look at because I wanted to link these two verses. And as I mentioned, the same word in English doesn't always mean the same in Greek. So I wanted to make sure that they were saying the same thing and we could make that connection. And here's what I found. It's actually not quite the same. And so I thought this was interesting. So in Philippians, you have you shine as lights in the world. And in this one, it's phoster. It's the neutral form of the noun that Paul uses. This one is only used one other time in the New Testament. And it's more about the function of a light as like being an illuminator. So, or being like the vessel of the light. So we shine as lights. We are the illuminators. And in Matthew, where it says, you are the light of the world, this one is just phos. So it's the same like root word. It's just another form of the noun, the masculine noun. Now, this is the one where normally you see everywhere. It's 70 times in the New Testament, and including 13 by Paul. And it's more poetic or metaphorical, referring more to the substance of the light and the nature of the light that we're emitting. It is used to denote truth and its knowledge, especially the saving truth embodied in Christ and by his love and effort imparted to mankind. So this is more of the truth. So, and it's the same light that is used to describe Jesus at times and that he uses to describe himself when he says, I'm the light of the world. And so essentially, when we're called to shine as lights, and that is the substance of the light, we're like shining Christ, right? That's pretty cool. And his saving truth into the world. And so, we could talk about light. So if we're to shine as lights, what does that mean? What does light do? And just to give myself, a little credibility here, I'm certified, to talk about, I have the authority to tell you about what light does. And, if you want to know, just check out the article I wrote in Naval Engineers Journal on laser weapons. So there's a little, a little pat on the back here. so I can tell you about light. But one thing we all know light does is it exposes, right? So when we are called to act as lights, we're called to expose what's in the darkness, what's in this crooked and twisted generation. Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And so this can mean a few things. It can mean it's really speaking that truth, the light that is like the truth, the saving knowledge of Christ. So it can mean being bold. It can mean saying tough things or taking a stand at times. And I liked what Louis said in his communion talk when he said the Israelites were saying, we serve the Lord, and if you're going to say that, you better do it. So I think this emphasizes, why we have to continue in obedience, because if you're going to talk the talk, you better be walking the walk. And so we might have to take some stands or say some things that are counter to our culture and things like that in this world. But I also think there's a little bit of a danger here of going too negative and harsh, because ultimately, I think part of the church's problem is, yes, we can hold each other inside of the church to the moral standards of the Bible because you're claiming to live by them, but you can't exactly expect the world to be living to the standards of the Bible, or really to even understand them when you express them, because as it says, you know, they're darkened or hardened to that. You know, they can't understand unless it's revealed to them. So there's a line, I think, to walk there. And so, you know, it's good to not be too harsh. In Titus 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Show perfect courtesy toward all people, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." So it's just this reminder that you were once in darkness too. And so, you know, think about when you were there and show some courtesy, right, towards them and grace. And so we can speak the truth, and we hope that by, rather than going negative and saying, "You're horrible, I can't believe you do that, that's awful," but I don't know, I'd like to think maybe being the light is more emphasizing the positive and saying, like, showing the value in that alternative living style of living, or the value in every person. So, like, think about the people that you're treating. They have value. And or saying, you know, "I was once doing this too, but now I'm trying this other way of life, and it's so great." And by doing that, by emphasizing the positive more, people will hopefully see that that way is better, or what they were doing was wrong, and the guilt and the conviction will come. The Holy Spirit will do that work. So, yeah, there's a line there, definitely. You gotta, we wanna speak truth, but maybe not condemn, right? That's not our role. And so, but when we do that, even when we do it positively and we do it in love, the odds are it's not going to be taken very well or received very well. And because people don't like to be exposed, they don't like to feel conviction or guilt. And in John 3, you read, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So when we shine the light and we're exposing, the people in the darkness or people doing evil things, they're going to run away from that. They're not going to receive it well. And so that can be difficult. But the good news is, and I think it goes for us too, when we are, you know, thinking you don't like being exposed either, you're going to run away from that. But I have good news for you, and that when things are exposed, they then become light themselves, as we see in Ephesians, again, verse 13. "Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." So these things, while they are in darkness and evil, and we don't like the discomfort of being exposed, once you have become exposed and you are illuminated, that thing then can itself become light. And that is what all of our testimonies really are, right? We have these, like, dark things that we were in, but God is now using them to be light. Now I can use that as to bring other people to Christ and to show his love and his mercy and his grace. And so in order to be the light, in order to shine, right, you have to have, so in order to be the illuminator, the phosteir, you have to have the light, the saving truth, the phos. And to even take that one step further, the more of you that is exposed to that light, the brighter you will shine. Luke 11:36 says, "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." So even if you are, you know, maybe partially lit and shining, you you could be brighter. I know, it's getting lit. Woo! But you might be partially lit, but maybe there's a part of you, you know, you are hiding in the shadows, and you could be shining brighter than what you have been. And so I'm not asking or telling you to go share and expose your deepest hurts and hangups to the whole world. In fact, I think that would probably be a bad idea to be, you know, just go out and be totally transparent, by the way. but you, what you can do is start small, right? Find a few people who have been light shiners in your life, or who, you know, those people close to you, and just start with one. I have a circle of people that include, you know, my pastor, my husband, my mom, a couple of my closest friends, people who have shined light into my life in the past and who I've shined into in the past. And when something comes up in my life that I feel like, oh, I've been hiding this, you know, the first step, even a few months ago, I've been working through some things, and you first, like, I didn't go out and just tell the whole world, you know? You expose it to yourself and to God, and then some of those close people, and let that light shine in, and let it start to be worked away at. And then once it is healed, once it's become light, that's when we go, you know, the whole world. So start small. And this is when that idea of being better together, having those people in your life who, you know, will help you through this process of going from darkness to light, of exposing and becoming light. And so maybe you have stepped into the light. Maybe you have been shining as a light. And, you know, but today you can ask yourself, have I been shining as brightly as I could be? Have I been letting that light only hit my good side? Am I only partially lit? is there something that I can bring into the light today in order to be a more effective illuminator for Christ? And maybe, on the other side, maybe you've never stepped into the light. Maybe you've been hiding in darkness. You could even have felt the pull to come into the light at a time, but were afraid. You could be afraid, and even those of us who have parts of us hiding in darkness, there's a fear there, afraid of what might be revealed to people, or afraid of what might be revealed to yourself. You could also be afraid that it's too much. But I want to encourage you, if that's the case, if you're afraid that it's too much, it's never too much. There's never too much darkness for God to shine through. You can just think of any situation, like pitch black. It could be as dark, I like can't see my hand in front of my face dark, and like the littlest light then can make the biggest difference. And in Romans, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 20, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. There's always more grace. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. John 1:29, they said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The whole world. There's never too much. He can cover it all. He did cover it all. And so, you could be any level, right, of darkness. You could be as dark as this board. Can we get the... But afraid to step into the light. I'm waiting my handy-dandy Vanna White... You might be afraid because if you do step into the light, it might look something, if you flip that switch, like this. So I just want to encourage you, anything that's in your darkness, it doesn't matter if you expose it and let God turn it into light. Maybe it's anger. Maybe you... suffer from anger, but if you let God in, this is a little stickier than that.
Okay.
You can turn it to light. Or anxiety or fear is in your darkness, it can be light. You gotta pull that way. Yeah, there we go.
Teamwork. Better together.
There you go. Maybe it's a sexual sin. Anything that's outside of the marriage of one man and one woman, God can heal that too. You can shine through. Oh, that's okay. Sometimes it's a process. He doesn't get it all at once. Take the rest later.
That's good.
Idolatry, maybe of money or career, anything that's above God. Whoop. Really glad I didn't go with the paint route. That would have been even harder. gossip, lies, slander might be in your darkness. an eating disorder, gluttony, anorexia, bulimia. We gotta go slower. All right, he'll get it, we'll get it. A prejudice. Seems timely right now, doesn't it? Could be racism, sexism, ageism. There's all kinds of isms, classism. Can make that light. Addiction, alcoholism, substance abuse, gambling, pornography, etc. Showing the guns here. Laziness. People forget about some of these things, right? As things in darkness. This is a big one that I struggled with in the past. Pride. Ooh, that one came off easy. Look at that. So yeah. So today, are you hiding in darkness? Is there something that you need to bring into the light? Do you need to step into the light for the first time? So I want to take a moment to ask you all, if you would close your eyes, bow your heads, without anyone looking around. If you're here or watching online and you have already stepped into the light, you've been living in light, but there's part of you you've been hiding in the shadows. If you're feeling that today, that there's something that you need to bring into the light, I just want to ask you to lift a hand. Thank you for that hand. You can put your hands down, and if you're here or you're online watching online and you've never stepped into the light, you've never been exposed, and you want to make that step today, you want to begin that process of becoming light and being freed from those things. If that's you today, would you just lift a hand? Thank you. Thank you for your hand. And I'm going to ask everyone here to just repeat after me, and if you're at home, just pray this along with me. For those people, Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I've been living in the dark. I believe that your Son, Jesus, died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I need you, Lord, to turn my darkness into light. So, Father, I'm making you Lord of my life. Please help me to walk in the light and to do your will. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, made that decision today, for those of you here, I'll be up here. Prayer will be available. But if you're online, we want to know about it because we want to be proud. We want to celebrate and rejoice with you. So please contact us. The church phone number, you can text the church phone or you can email at web@hillside.com. We'd love to connect with you and help you with next steps and to celebrate with you. So, I hope that you all go forward and walk in light. Find those people who are lights in your life. Thank them for that. And go shine. So, that's all I got. Have an awesome week, everybody.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.